This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Yesterday, hundreds of North Carolina teachers walked into their schools to protest recent education legislation. Yes, they walked in, not out. Teachers led the walk-ins to speak out against what they say are spending cuts and yet another year of no raises.
Stop pushing teachers off the plank. It seems so much of what the legislature is doing is making our job difficult.
That was Roger Schultz, a teacher at Riverside High School in Durham, one of many yesterday who staged walk-ins. However, many Republicans say that no cuts were actually made. Education budget is actually the highest it's been. Dave DeWitt is WUNC's Raleigh Bureau Chief and Education Reporter. He's been covering the walk-ins and what's happening across the state and joins us today. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
Tell us what these walk-ins looked like. What was going on?
It varied depending on what school you went to. I visited three yesterday. And some of them were had a minimal level of organization, mostly just teachers, either in sort of in front of a car line or the bus line or out by the road, wearing red, holding some signs, and trying to the people who are coming through dropping off their kids, give them an understanding of why they were out there and what they had to say in sort of these very short, whatever can fit on a sign or whatever can be chanted. A few of the other events were more overtly political. There were bad PA systems. There were people standing up. There were elected officials. And those were more directed, you know, at the specific legislation and legislators who passed what they perceived to be anti-education policies. So, and then there were some that were very intimate conversations between parents and teachers about what was working in their schools. I attended one at Rogers Herr Middle School where the parents had some great ideas about what was working, what wasn't working, but it also showed you some of the disconnect. You know, these were involved parents who weren't really sure how lottery money is sort of folded into education, which is an understandable thing to not know because it's changed so much. So there were a lot of different types of events. They were all had different levels of organization, but they were all pretty passionate in a way.
Passionate about what? What were the teachers asking for?
Well, different teachers were upset about different things. And I think that's important to realize that not all teachers have the same issues with things that have happened. But if you look at the last legislative session, it was historic in the number of education reforms that occurred. Everything from, and you mentioned the sort of not giving teachers salary increases, which certainly upsets some teachers, but the elimination of master's degree supplements, that we're the first state in the country ever to do that.
Meaning, if you have a master's degree, you don't get an automatic pay raise.
If you're in the process, if you get one from now on, basically, yeah. You know, those people who are in a certain part of the pipeline will get it if they're able to get it by May. But if you just started a program or if you're a year in, you still got another year, you're out of luck, you won't get the master's degree supplement. And from any time forward, teachers feel like they were promised that as part of a negotiation in the past for taking lower salaries that, okay, if we progress along and get a master's degree, then we should get a supplement. Well, that's ended. And like I said, that we're the first state in the country to do that. Other things, the end of teacher tenure, also one of those things that teachers feel like they negotiated in good faith and is now ending. There were a lot of, and I had someone tell me this morning, a legislator told me that there are a lot of sticks that were sort of put in teachers, but there was no carrot put at the other end. There wasn't a system put in place to even reward the best teachers, which is a minimum of what some folks on the Republican side want to have, and some Democrats too. That isn't in place. It will be in place at some point, but there's a long road to get there.
And the Republicans are saying, look, and Governor McCrory has said over and over again, what do you mean cuts? We're spending more on education than we've ever spent in the history of North Carolina.
That's right. And he's not incorrect about that. North Carolina spent $7.8 billion in their K-12 budget. The closest they'd spent previously was in 2008 when they spent $7.7 billion. What he doesn't say is that since that time, there's been 7.8% increase in inflation, that there's about 34,000 new public school students. And so the per pupil funding has dropped, and it's dropped more here than it has in other states by about $800 since 2008, and that has a huge effect. One of the principals at one of the schools here in Durham said that's about $1 million less per year we get because we have that low per pupil funding, because it isn't the national average, and that's a big deal to schools. They could spend that money wisely. What the Republicans say is, what we did was we gave them the highest amount of money, but also we gave the local control. We allowed these local superintendents to decide, do you want to smaller classes? Do you want teacher assistants? Do you want teachers in this area or that area? And that those superintendents could make the decisions with essentially the same amount of money they've had.
And the decisions, though, that the legislature made were severe cuts in some of the things that affect classrooms directly. So a 21% cut in the money that goes for teachers' assistants. That's going to affect classroom size. Right. If you're that administrator, you don't have a lot of choice when your assistants are removed from the budget. Right?
Well, yeah. The money was removed. So now if you want to keep the teacher assistant, okay, go ahead. But you've got to find the money somewhere else, and that probably means that your classes are going to be bigger somewhere else.
So, and with the money, you won't find the money in textbooks expenditures because that was zeroed out as well. New textbooks.
It was zeroed out. And that, you know, the decline has been precipitous since then. But now the textbooks are zeroed out. Some people say, well, we're infusing the classrooms with a lot more technology. That technology largely comes through grant money, Race to the Top and some other grants. But a lot of teachers and a lot of students, I talked to several students yesterday at one of the high schools that say, you know, my textbook is falling apart and these gadgets are nice, but they don't take the place of a textbook. I can't take this nice whiteboard projector home with me at night. I got to take the textbook in my backpack. And so, yes, textbooks were zeroed out, and parents and teachers noticed that probably more than anything. You know, when you're a parent and your student pulls out a textbook and it's falling apart, that's a direct iconic, you know, sort of symbol of what's going on in the schools.
And as you say, you can take a textbook home, you can't take the technology home, and that really hurts low-wealth communities where there is no technology at home. So if you can't take it with you and you don't have a textbook, you got nothing when you go home.
Well, that's right. And, you know, there's still a lot of areas in this state that don't have adequate broadband access. The schools do now, but in communities, even in small towns, there's no broadband access. So the technology might be good in the classroom, but if the children don't know how to use it and the teachers don't know how to use it, and we've seen, you know, technology is great, but if you don't know how to use it effectively, and if you're not an effective teacher with the technology, the professional development opportunities are starting to shrink. So there's a lot of problem. And like I said before, different teachers have different issues. Many of them have the same issues, but some of them really, you know, don't like sort of this substituting technology for textbooks.
Senator Phil Berger, Republican, head of the Senate, says, look, the classroom is no place for politics. This is a strictly political move. This is an obvious move by the Democrats to throw darts at the Republicans. And the classroom is no place for this kind of activity.
And that, you know, what happened was that this initial idea was to be a walkout. And this happened on social media. And of course, in this state, it's a right-to-work state. Public employees do not have the right to strike, nor can they collectively bargain. So that would have been illegal. And the North Carolina Association of Educators, the association that represents many teachers, not all of them, quickly sort of said, you can't do that. And some other folks proposed to walk in, and that's how we got to where we got to. So, but there were still a lot of flyers that came home. In my house and in other places, we saw a lot of flyers and saw a lot of emails from teachers saying, this is occurring. These are the things we'd like to talk about. These are the issues we have. So there was a political sense to this, without a doubt. And the NCAE and Republicans have battled for years. They don't like each other very much. And we saw a lot of that yesterday.
Well, and it's interesting when you call that political, what you don't see is the political decision not to allow public employees to form unions and to walk off the job. That's a political decision. It gets made and then you grow the grass over it and call everything else political.
And it's really important to know how we got here, right? And it's important to know we're talking, you know, about today and tomorrow, but how do we get to that point where, you know, teachers in other and people move in, you know, from Pennsylvania and New York, and they're like, what do you mean you don't have teachers unions? What do you mean there are no strikes here? You know, there's a basic understanding of the public school system here and how we got here that a lot of people don't quite have. And I think that's what teachers were trying to do yesterday, was inform some folks about their situation and why they're in it.
There have been changes to the budgets, cuts in the budgets. Teachers have protested and complained regularly about activities from the legislature for a long, long time now. Is there anything different about yesterday's protest?
You know, it's interesting to watch teachers not focus on so much the salary issues or some of the things that affected them, but some of the bigger issues, one of which is school vouchers. You know, they really believe that vouchers are going to take money from the public schools. And there's some reason to believe that. It certainly has happened in other places where vouchers have been instituted. So you see a lot of teachers talking about big picture issues and effects on students.
And critics have said along those lines that the Republicans are saying, on the one hand, the system is broken, and then we're finding these budget cuts in key areas in classroom instruction, textbooks, teacher assistance. And on the other hand, the Republicans have been pushing vouchers and privatization of education. And the critics are saying, look, this is self-fulfilling prophecy, and you're pushing your own political agenda by breaking a system and then calling it broken.
Yeah, you know, last week in our house, through the mail, we got a flyer. And the flyer said at the top, you may be eligible for a government-backed scholarship to a private school. And yeah, I had to look at it pretty closely, and it's a happy family is pictured. And over on the side, it says his family income and if you qualify. But at the bottom, it says, you know, this is sponsored by the People for Educational Freedom of North Carolina. That's the group that pushed the vouchers. And the vouchers are for low-income students to attend private schools, taking $10 or $15 million away from public schools if all of the low-income students are able to fulfill these things. And clearly what they're doing here, this group, is they are trying to create the market for the thing that they've already helped get past the legislature. And the one thing that legislators will tell you what's going to happen next is those vouchers will probably expand. We'll probably see the income levels expand a little bit, lessen a little bit, so more middle-income families could take advantage of these small scholarships to go to private schools. But the market's got to be there. So if not enough low-income students take it, it's hard to argue that you need to expand this program. So they sent out a lot of flyers to try to drum up some business. You can understand why they're doing it, but it does speak to the fact that, yes, there is some privatization that is occurring in the charter school movement for sure, and also in this voucher system.
Dave, thank you. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, WNC's Raleigh Bureau Chief and Education Reporter. Just ahead, experiencing war on the stage, on the state of things. From North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, please stay with us.